540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Dozens of hostages in Gaza could be released soon. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports.
This agreement, mediated by Washington and Qatar, comes as the war is in its seventh week. And while no start time has been announced for a four-day ceasefire, Israeli military activity continues in Gaza. Gaza health officials say they've lost the ability to count the dead as the Israeli offensive continues. Under the deal, Hamas will free 50 of its 240 captives, and Israel will release Palestinian prisoners, most women and children on both sides.
150 jailed Palestinians are expected to be freed. Palestinian Authority Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki.
We are very much pleased, like everybody else is, that innocent civilians will be released.
Nearly 55.5 million Americans are expected to travel this Thanksgiving Day holiday, according to AAA. Jake Robertson is driving to Connecticut and describes the traffic.
Not great, but I've seen it worse. Just getting out of Boston is a little difficult.
Three people are dead and three others missing after a landslide in southeast Alaska. Eric Yancey is co-owner of Breakaway Adventures.
They were in the house and they just started hearing this rumbling, and they just described it as it sounded like maybe a jet was going to be crashing on their house or right next to it. They went running outside.
The tech world is sighing in relief after the CEO of OpenAI was reinstated. CBS's Stacey Lin.
Just days after an attempted coup, Sam Altman will return as CEO of OpenAI, the company tweeting that it has an agreement in principle for him to return alongside a new board.
The CEO of cryptocurrency giant Binance has pleaded guilty to money laundering.
It is believed to be the world's largest exchange of the very unregulated world of cryptocurrency, and it and its chief executive now stand convicted of aiding international money laundering. Binance agrees to pay $4 billion in penalties. Its CEO is stepping down.
CBS's Tom Foti reporting. A couple retailers signal tougher sales could be in store just before Black Friday. Here's correspondent Jennifer Kuiper.
Best Buy posts stronger than expected profits, but reports a deeper than expected drop in revenue for the fiscal third quarter. The nation's largest consumer electronics chain also cut its fourth quarter sales outlook. Lowe's home improvement chain did the same after also reporting stronger profit for the last quarter.
Taking a look at Wall Street, stock futures are up. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
There's a new attitude surrounding Carroll University basketball this year as Taylor Jansen leads the men through his first full season as head coach.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Lawyer Mark Gaber, arguing for the petitioners, suggests Wisconsin's political boundaries are some of the most out of proportion in the United States.
This shocks people across the country who look at this map. This is like foreign to what redistricting looks like.
The court will decide whether Wisconsin's maps are drawn to the point of being unconstitutional. The opening weekend of the 9-day gun deer hunt in Wisconsin was slower than last year. The Department of Natural Resources says this year's opening weekend numbers were about 16% lower than last year. Wildlife officials blame mild weather. This year's season started several days earlier than last year's. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks against the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Boston tonight to take on the Celtics. Tip-off time at TD Garden, 6:30. The Bucks have a 5-game winning streak going, while Giannis, coming off Monday night's game, scoring 42 points.
I wish it was easy. I wish I could come in and score 42 every game, you know, but it's hard. You got to work extremely hard.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers in Florida. For the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament, they take on SMU in the championship game. NFL, the Packers play the Lions tomorrow. tomorrow in the annual Thanksgiving Day game in Detroit. Kickoff 11:30 tomorrow morning at Ford Field. Matt LaFleur says that rookie tight end Luke Musgrave had to be hospitalized after suffering an abdominal injury against the Chargers. LaFleur telling the story when this happened.
Yeah, he's got a pretty significant injury. So, you know, I think it just speaks to his toughness because he didn't... Wow. That was interesting. Was that Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Okay.
Mets Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun today with a high of 42. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. 28 tonight, mainly clear skies. Highs around 41 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, November 22nd. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app. By podcast or social media, I've got a question for you. What are you thankful for today? We always talk about it at Thanksgiving time, and I'm sure some people share a moment around the Thanksgiving dinner table, but if we just actually take a second and say, what are you thankful for? What's that first thing that comes to mind? And I hope you know that there's probably some people thankful for you. And I hope that helps make your holiday just a little bit brighter and your travels a little bit safer as you hit the roads or the jetways over these next few days. Here's what's on tap on this Wednesday. Justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court engaged in oral arguments Tuesday over a case that could restore more balanced elections to voters in the near future. In our climate check, we'll talk to a legislative Democrat about a package of bills that is designed to create jobs in Wisconsin while reducing pollution. And we'll begin the seasonal debate for those who put up Christmas trees soon or too soon. In our second hour, time cannot wash away sins of the past, and it's not supposed to. Time allows us to look at past deeds with a wider perspective and apply those lessons to how we act today. And we'll talk to a widely acclaimed Eau Claire teacher about the importance of telling Wisconsin students about the indigenous roots of our past, the full history of settlement and conflict, and the lessons we can apply to the path ahead. We'll talk to Todd Alba about his show, coming every weekday afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network. Meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology will tell us the travel forecast for the first part of the week. And we invite you to join us as well if you want to tell us what you're thankful for or comment on today's news happenings. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call it or text it. You can use the Civic Media app to text. You can also use social media, put a comment on the live video feed of this radio show on the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page. And you can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Temperatures in the 20s and 30s this morning. It's 23 up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward is at 20 degrees and Park Falls at 21. Wausau, 20. Green Bay's at 32 degrees. Oshkosh, 31. La Crosse, 28. Wisconsin Rapids, 26 degrees right now. It's 32 in Madison, and it's 34 in Waukesha, where we check in with the vice chair of the Puppy Planning Committee, one Greg Bach.
Yes, morning, I am sir.
I am the vice chair. I won that election handily thanks to gerrymandered maps. I am in full favor of the current map system, as I will be vice chair for puppy planning forever.
That's right. How goes the puppy planning?
Good. We're sort of like, now it's just about cleaning the house. I mean, we got all the stuff. We ordered some more stuff. You know, it's now it's like, wait, we don't get her until Sunday, but we want to make sure the house is, we put up these things on the doors so she can't open doors with her paws because there's some things low that are dangerous. So these Bridges get real excited.
You know, they don't have opposable thumbs, right? I mean, it sounds like you're latching like the silverware drawer or something like that. So, you know, there's
okay. Maybe so I put one on the fridge. Maybe I put one on the fridge for myself. Okay. That's fine. Whatever.
Yes. Only Bridget has the combination to that one.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Hey, a little later this hour, we'll try to maybe share something that's in this morning's daily newsletter from Up North News. Conversation starters that are uniquely Wisconsin. So, yeah. So maybe I should tease you. Here'd be one example of a Wisconsin conversation starter. If you could only have one Culver's flavor of the day, and you'd have to have it every day, what would it be?
I mean,
so you see where I'm going?
Yeah, totally.
Wisconsin themes here.
It's up there now. Okay. So
you think about that. We're going to have Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio from Wisconsin Rapids in later for today's history lesson and maybe a few Thanksgiving conversation starters as well. All right, let's unpack the news again. 844-967-2789 if you'd like to join along. I have described the people who were talking to the Supreme Court yesterday about the gerrymandered maps. I think it's right to call them pro-democracy advocates, looking to bring a more balanced sense of democracy back to Wisconsin. Because after all, yesterday marked their first opportunity since 2011 to seek justice for all Wisconsin voters in a political environment that did not include conservative control of both the legislature and the state Supreme Court. Attorneys for Democratic officials and progressive groups urged the state's justices to overturn Republican-drawn maps and draw new boundaries for the 2024 election, a move that would mean every legislative district would be redrawn and would be on the ballot even for lawmakers who are currently in the middle of their terms. Conservatives, as you can imagine, cast doubt on the timing of the new legal challenge, coming immediately after the swearing-in of Justice Janet Protasiewicz ended 15 years of conservative court control. In fact, we're going to play a little snippet of audio for you here. You're going to hear, this is the very beginning of opening arguments. All right, this is an attorney for the group trying to unrig the maps, and he gets exactly 7 seconds into his testimony when right-wing Justice Rebecca Bradley pounces and starts hitting him with questions. And this is an edited version of the question she asks and then his answer that came a minute or two later. Let's listen in.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The Wisconsin Constitution's redistricting requirements are not optional. Yes.
Counsel, where were you? Where were your clients 2 years ago? Because we've already been through this. Redistricting happens once every 10 years after the census. All of the issues that you're bringing actually could have been brought before this court 2 years ago. So why did your clients sit on their rights?
Well, of course, the map that would govern the next elections, as I mentioned, was not known at that point. And so even if for 50 years there was a constitutional violation, there was no way to know that there was going to be one going forward. And so I'm unaware of any authority that would say that if you don't raise a constitutional claim in 12 days, that you're forever precluded from raising that claim in the future when you have no idea that that claim is going to arise for the particular map that is going to be put into place.
That is attorney Mark Gaber from the Campaign Legal Center, who was trying to present the case and was interrupted there by Justice Bradley, which is, by the way, not unusual for justices to interrupt the attorneys. 7 seconds might be a bit much, but she really was trying to make the case that when she was in the majority on the court, when the conservatives controlled the court, they heard arguments about maps a couple of years back. You'll recall that that case eventually went to the U.S. Supreme Court, where the conservative justices there said, no, we're not going to go with this one map that you all approved. You have to go with a different map, even though that map had been vetoed by Governor Evers. And the legislature had failed to override the veto. So there's no way those maps should have been put in place. And yet those are the maps that are put in place right now, which raises the point of separation of powers that the U.S. Supreme Court can essentially, you know, overrule, you know, the executive branch in Wisconsin. And the other point that Mr. Gaber made when she said, well, where were you 2 years ago? Now you're saying the maps are unconstitutional. And he was right to say, look, whatever arguments were made 2 years ago, if they are still unconstitutional, there's no statute of limitations on that. They're still unconstitutional. And so she, Rebecca Bradley, and the other conservative justices were trying to make this point that said, well, you can't just come back and revisit a decision just because the composition of the court has changed. And if you heard a whole lot of coughing at that moment, it probably sounded like this. Dobbs decision, Roe v. Wade overturned, because that's exactly what happened at the U.S. Supreme Court, where you had justices who said Roe v. Wade is settled law until it wasn't, based on the composition of the court. And here's the thing. Court compositions change. The legal challenges can always come from one side or the other. And we rely on justices to weigh the law and apply it fairly. And there's clearly enough people that believe the law was not applied fairly 2 years ago that they are bringing up this challenge now with a different composition of the court. There's the chance that all the legislators, if they choose to run for re-election, will have to stand for re-election. And I believe it was Justice Bradley, it could have been one of the others, that said, I can't think of anything less democratic than forcing people to stand for election in the middle of their term. To which I know a few people wrote, really? There's something not democratic about standing for election? That's more democratic with a small d compared to rigging the maps, as has been done in Wisconsin for all these many years. Now, again, we don't know the timeline on this. We don't know if a decision will be handed down in time to redraw maps in the spring of 2024 for the November 2024 elections. It's possible they may not decide by then. They may need more information. It's also possible that there could be somebody trying to get the U.S. Supreme Court involved, and that could lead to a delay as well. And if that's the case, then there would not be new maps next year, but conceivably for 2026. Although I would note that progressive Justice Anne Walsh Bradley is up for re-election in 2025. And so again, we could see this political whipsaw going back and forth. Those are the things that sometimes happen in politics, especially with an increasingly politicized state Supreme Court. But it's important to continue to fight the fight, to make the points, and try to get better representation for all voters, not just the ones who happened to vote for the majority in 2010 and then have had to pay for that for these past dozen years. One sports note at 6:18 to tell you about, and it's out of men's college basketball. Fourth-ranked Marquette, playing in the Maui Invitational, routed the number one-ranked Kansas Jayhawks last night, 73-59. Former Marquette great Dwayne Wade was sitting right there in the front row. Marquette was up for pretty much the entire game, and now they will take on second-ranked Purdue for the tournament championship tomorrow. We will pause here and continue to unpack the news on this Wednesday, wherever you are across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
We are getting set now to head into Thanksgiving weekend holiday, but before we do, we thought we'd get another check on the stories that you're reading, clicking on the videos you're watching, the graphics that catch your eye. All across the Up North News social media sites, and Sherita Booker handles that for us as our social media manager. Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. The first one we're going to talk about that gained a lot of traction is actually one that stemmed from this radio show just a few days back when we had an Ohio physician on shortly after the public referendum or the constitutional referendum on abortion rights. Tell us more about the post and the reaction to it.
So although most people want to protect women's health care rights, some extremists in Wisconsin, Ohio, and Michigan are trying to weaken democracy. So in Wisconsin, they threatened to impeach newly elected Janet Protasiewicz. In Ohio, they've tried to prevent the courts from interpreting abortion laws, and a federal lawsuit in Michigan is asking a constitutional amendment to be thrown out. We had over 100 comments on that post, one from Randy Tischer that said, "It would be nice to have rights over my own body without others trying to control it through the government." I second that, Randy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we appreciate all the feedback on all the stories that we do here. There's also, there cannot be a referendum on legalizing marijuana in Wisconsin or abortion rights or anything else because we don't have that kind of a mechanism set up. But across Wisconsin and across the country, it appears support only continues to build on the subject of legal marijuana. And what kind of post and reaction do you have for us on that?
So 71% of Americans support legalizing marijuana. So we asked you your thoughts about it in Wisconsin. That post had over 500 likes and about 50 comments on Instagram. Sunday and Odie said, "So silly to be the only one surrounded by legal states. Just do it already." Uncle Cruiser said, "I don't mind people smoking responsibly, but I can tell you more and more, smoking and driving, smell it now more than ever."
Yeah, I felt that way in Michigan where it's legalized. It seems that when I go visit my one daughter there, that smell is everywhere, it seems.
Absolutely. I went to New York and it was the same way. People just, I didn't even know it was legal when I went to New York, and I'm just like smelling it everywhere. Like, what is going on?
And you know what else is everywhere is the billboards are everywhere. And as somebody who used to work for a billboard company in Milwaukee, I mean, I appreciate the value of outdoor advertising, but man, those ads are everywhere. They're even in Wisconsin. You know, you go into some of these bar bathrooms and places and you see these posters for, you know, getting legal weed in Michigan. And so, yeah, I mean, there's public support, but it's, if there weren't, all that advertising, you know, would be for naught, but people clearly know what they respond to.
Yeah, maybe sooner than later. Hopefully we'll see, I guess.
Maybe. And then finally, as again, we head into Thanksgiving. Well, that means some folks are going to turn the calendar, figuratively turn the holiday calendar, at least right away after they finish up the turkey. Others wait a little bit longer. Tell us about that post.
So we asked you, when does the Christmas tree go up? After Thanksgiving, in December, or is it already up? And majority of you said that it's already up. We had a comment from Arnie B. Jones that said, "I never took it down this year, and that's how it will be from now on. I leave the outside lights on too all year. No woman is involved in this decision." Smiley face.
Okay, I think just because a majority of the responses there, I'm going to say that's not a scientific poll, because obviously it's not a scientific poll, but I think it's interesting that a lot of people did want to put that as their response. What's your response, Sherita?
I do not have my tree up, and I don't have a specific time when I put it up, but I'm a procrastinator. So if it was up to me, it would be up like the week before Christmas. But my kids are definitely going to hound me after Thanksgiving.
Of course they will, because then they'll want to see presents there. And then they're going to want to hound people. Can they open one of them, just one of them, you know, early?
Yeah, they've already asked. And I don't even have any presents up. So or presents up. So I'm like, let's wait till St. Nick comes.
I've got... Of the four grandkids, the youngest is, or the second youngest is four now, and is at that age where you give them the catalog. My daughter gave him one of these catalogs. I don't know if it was from Farm and Fleet or where. And basically she said, circle the things that you'd like Santa to bring you. And she checks later. He has circled everything in there. It's like, no, this is not a request list. This is something for Santa. So we're going to have to take a better guess on what the little fellow would like. Sherita Booker does this for us, all these social media posts and more. Just search Up North News WI if you're on Facebook and some of those other platforms. Sherita, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for the visit.
Thank you.
All right, let's put that question to Greg Bach as well, as far as, you know, that Christmas tree, those holiday decorations, the holiday baking. Do you start it all right away? Do you wait for the calendar to say December? What do things look like over there?
It's kind of, you know, it's definitely after Thanksgiving. I would say probably the first week or two of December.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, no like set date, but also I don't want to like there've been years before I'm like, if it's a week before Christmas and we don't do Christmas at our house, so there's no reason to like decorate. Mm-hmm. We're like, yeah, it's not going up.
we now, as empty nesters, we've had a couple of years where we knew that we weren't having anybody over, that we were going to go visit our daughters in different places. And so, yeah, we didn't put up a tree. And the first time it felt really weird, but it also felt kind of good. Yeah. that we didn't need that particular chore, you know. Again, that comes with, you know, being at the age and the stage that we're in. Back when we had kids at home, it wasn't like you, it wasn't any set date. It was almost like a feeling. It was like, yeah, okay, between that and your work schedules, you know, if there, yeah, was finally like a free Saturday or a, you know, Friday evening or something, it's like, okay, down to the basement, get, yeah, the boxes out, let's go. And next thing you know, it looks like it vomited Christmas all over the place, which is in a happy, gleeful, yes, way, of course, you know.
Happy holidays.
Are you a Black Friday person? Do you do any shopping, even if it's online on Black Friday, or is Friday a no shopping day for you?
I do some shopping. I'll go to Amazon if I've got my family has not given me their lists yet, and I have not given them mine because we are all like, give us your lists, and mm-hmm, then we don't. Mm-hmm. I'll buy a few things here and there if I have lists already, but it's not entirely something I need to do. I'm not waiting in line. I'm not getting up at the tush crack of dawn to buy a TV. That's not worth it.
No, the only thing that will catch me is if I see a commercial, and again, I don't normally do this, but I might see a price somewhere and go, oh, hey, you know, if I can get that for that online, I'll do it. Now, I also want to make clear that we have a lot of lovely little stores here in Chippewa Falls, yeah, and I do what I can to patronize those. Small Business Saturday is coming up.
Absolutely.
And everybody should try to patronize those hometown merchants as best you can. But, you know, for some of those things where you do use the national retailers, you know, I'm the one thing I'm not happy about the demise of the shopping mall, but I don't miss the crowded parking lots and the crowded malls.
You know? I don't either. And then you get to do that thing you like, you know. Like, oh, where'd you get that? Like, that's a nice TV. I know, I got it on Black Friday sale. That's a very Midwestern thing to say.
I need to punch three old ladies in the head to get to that TV.
They know what they did.
they knew the risks when they came in. When we come back, we'll have this week's Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff, and we'll be joined by State Representative Dave Considine of Baraboo, talking about a new package of bills by Democratic legislators and the potential for a cleaner, greener future that grows jobs in Wisconsin. That's in just a sec. You're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. An agreement to free 50 hostages held in Gaza in exchange for a brief ceasefire and 150 jailed Palestinians could begin soon. CBS's Robert Berger from Jerusalem.
On the one hand, the families of 50 hostages will be really happy about the return of their loved ones, but the torture will continue for the families of the more than 180 other hostages who won't be included in the deal.
Palestinian Authority Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki hopes the four-day ceasefire will be extended.
This also might allow to talk about a permanent ceasefire.
These are tough hours for family members of the hostages who wonder if their loved ones will be among those freed, including Gilad Korngold.
One side, I'm happy. Second, I'm worried, okay, because nobody told me that my family will be there in this deal.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Wendy Gillette.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments Tuesday in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Marquette University's John Johnson says the court will decide if so-called islands outside district borders are constitutional.
So they proposed a map that kept municipalities in a single district, even when the municipality was composed of pieces that didn't all touch each other.
Johnson spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Conservation groups are asking Governor Evers to block a proposed land exchange to build a new private golf course along Lake Michigan. Under the plan, the state would trade around 7 acres of the Black River Forest for about 9 acres of Kohler Company property. The groups say that the deal would set a bad precedent for public land use. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun today with a high of 42. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. 28 tonight, mainly clear skies. Highs around 41 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
What is the meaning behind Movember? It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. UK.
It's electric!
While a lot of attention during the fall legislative session was spent on the stadium renovation bill and Republicans blocking workforce priorities from both Governor Evers and the business community, there were other things going on as well, including a new package of bills related to a changing climate and cleaner energy, more efficient homes and schools, sustainable farming, job creation, and more. All these ideas are bundled into something called the Forward on Climate Package. It's made up of 20 bills that were bundled together by Democratic legislators, including Baraboo Democratic Assembly Representative Dave Considine. He joins me along with Melissa Baldoff in this week's Climate Check. Melissa, let's start with you. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
You know, usually we end up talking about, you know, one, maybe two topics related to climate. How do you feel about getting your arms around 20 different bills and all those topics?
To borrow a phrase from the governor, I'm jazzed about this. You know, we talk so much here about, you know, all the, you know, dire consequences of inaction. We talk about how, you know, we're not seeing enough action from Republicans mostly. But then when we see something like this, it's just a reminder that we have another reminder that we have wonderful people who care and are going to use their position to do the right thing and to, you know, to advance the kind of legislation and policy that we need to create good jobs that are part of the clean energy economy, reduce inequality, and fight climate change. So this to me is incredibly exciting that, you know, the legislature, Democrats in the legislature were able to build on the recommendations of the governor's task force on climate change and put together a comprehensive package that can really make a difference.
Well, Representative Considine, let's bring you into the conversation. Good morning to you as well. And, you know, tell me your thoughts on this whole entire bundle and the significance of putting something forward like this, you know, even while the legislature is taking on other matters, why did you take such a big bite out of such an important topic?
Well, I think you just said it in the question, because it's imperative that we do something about climate change, whether it's the flooding, the extreme climate events that we have, the air quality, our water quality. We need to be addressing the whole thing, and that's a lot of smaller pieces of legislation that we can use to address that, whether it's in housing and transportation, in agriculture. All those areas have really specific things that we can do to help Wisconsin be active in fighting against climate change.
Yeah, and again, you know, with 20 bills, we can't possibly cover all of them. Melissa, I'm going to ask Representative Considine about some of them that he is the lead sponsor of. But before I do, let me start with you in terms of, again, you know, all of these various bills. Are there one or two that especially stand out to you, or at least as noteworthy to tell the listeners about?
Yeah, I mean, really, there's a lot to be, I think there's a lot to be excited about. And what I have seen here is I think that it's incredibly important that we are looking at expanding the Focus on Energy program. That's something that is really helpful to people, to families, to small businesses around the state, so they can kind of take control of their own energy future. Helps them implement some energy efficiency and renewable energy projects. So I think that's really exciting to see a funding increase for Focus on Energy and to, you know, really adapt some of that programming to address the needs of lower income households. So to me, that's a fantastic proposal that will expand an already popular program and make it even more accessible to more folks around the state. And then, you know, something else that really stuck out to me here was some climate change local planning. We've talked so much about how local governments are in oftentimes really leading the charge on some of this work. So knowing that, you know, that state government wants to help our local governments out on this, I thought was really exciting to see.
Yeah, I mean, at the city level, you've got things about local planning and, you know, more bike paths and walking paths, long-range transportation planning, even urban forestry grants. And then there are the things that Representative Considine is, you know, the lead sponsor on as well. And they include a couple of different things that I wanted to ask you about, Dave. There's UW Extension climate science positions. But let's start with the regional biodigester planning grant. And I remember hearing about biodigesters and the need for regional cooperation, you know, dating back to, you know, my time in the legislature. I know Senator Jeff Smith has always made that a priority. Can you tell the folks, you know, what that's about and why it's a priority, why something like that should be in this package?
We generate a whole lot of waste in our state and in our economy, and waste not processed releases a whole lot of methane, which is not good for our environment. And yet with biodigesters, we can produce clean energy out of all that waste, whether it kind of started with agricultural waste on dairies. We had a few problems with a few of those, but those have been worked out. And they're really doing a good job right now. And we'd like to expand it, not just to agriculture, but to municipalities, to food production plants who can generate a lot of waste, whether it's vegetable production or whatever, and allow them to install biodigesters to take that waste and produce good, clean energy out of it.
And then the UW Extension climate science positions, talk about the importance of having that.
I think those are really important. I'm a believer in science. I'm a believer in the Wisconsin idea, that the University of Wisconsin really drives our economy in so many ways. And this is just another way we do that. It's making sure that we are ahead of the science, that we're doing the things that science has us to do. And it allows us to dedicate some specific research positions to how we can affect climate change in our state.
You know, when you talk about the science that's involved in here, and again, putting stock back into science compared to all of the denialism or suppression that we've seen. You also have in this package essentially having the Department of Public Instruction create model academic standards related to climate change. It just seems so proactive and the opposite of what we've been seeing from other political circles about not teaching, you know, things about our past history, to actually be forward looking and say, here's how we're going to talk about what's actually happening with the climate. Is that something that you see as a positive as well?
I do. I think it's very exciting, although as a person who taught public school for 30 years with students labeled emotionally behaviorally disordered at the middle level, and there they're talking about life science. That's the whole seventh grade curriculum in the district I was in. And so we talked a lot about climate change already, and we already have that in our science curriculums. But this is targeted specifically a focus on how we can teach that this specific area, for which we don't have a whole lot of curricula, for lack of a better word, to have a pattern that we can teach from and that we can develop curricula and develop materials from. And DPI are the specialists in that. So that's really important to have them involved for our science teachers, so they have that ahead of them.
That's really fantastic to hear. You know, I have a ninth grader and a recent high school graduate, and it's always interesting to see, you know, what the kids are learning in school. And I know that's a really interesting topic for them. So it's nice to know that we're going to put some additional effort into having a great curriculum. But one thing I wanted to talk a little bit about and ask you about, Representative, is, you know, what's the reception been like from folks in your district and folks in the agriculture community? Because to me, I look at a lot of these proposals, like the ones Pat asked you about specifically, and some of these ones on sustainable agriculture. And to me, it looks like there's a lot of opportunity for our farmers, producers, folks in the ag community to really be a part of this. And, I'm just curious, what you've been hearing from folks about this legislation.
I'm really excited about it. I know right after our media avail, where we unveiled this package, I had a news media outlet call me and ask me why I was so, for a lack of a better word, bullish on the fact that we might get some of these things done, especially some of the agriculture things. And the reason is, one of the bills that we heard today that has universal in the Agriculture Committee, we heard specifically addresses sustainability, kind of like our bill does, but in a very targeted area. It's $1 million that we're hearing to go to managed grazing techniques and giving grants out for managed grazing. Our carbon sequestration and sustainable agriculture bill is similar, but expands that into other areas where we can really help with carbon sequestration and make agriculture more sustainable, because there are other areas that the bill mentions. We also have a county conservation staff for climate resiliency in the package. And I think that's really important. The more people we have with boots on the ground that understand climate change and understand how agriculture can have an impact on that, the more we can move forward and agriculture can help us toward helping with climate change. But it takes people on the ground. It takes boots on the ground. The more people, farmers don't want to come to Madison for advice from your area. They don't want to go all the way down to Eau Claire or La Crosse or Green Bay. They would rather have somebody closer to home. And the more boots we have on the ground, the better off things are going to be in being accepted. And by the way, both Farmers Union and Farm Bureau testified in favor of that bill today. And I really think we're going to expand this into something more. And if we don't, I'm going to be positive about this. I'll tell you that every time the Democrats have introduced an agriculture package or a climate agriculture package, the next biennium, we get things in the budget that we as Democrats proposed. And that's going to happen with this too. We may not get credit for it as Democrats, but it came from proposals from the Democrats in the Agriculture Committee and moving those things forward. And that's going to happen with this package too, I guarantee.
It's basically, you anticipated my next question, and it was to ask in all earnestness, you know, why we always see Republican opposition to things that, I mean, these are jobs bills. These are job creation ideas. And I always want to think that our conservative friends can do more than make sarcastic remarks about the Green New Deal. And I was going to ask you, where is there room for Republican buy-in? And I think what you're telling me is there is room there. It just sometimes has to percolate a little.
Well, sometimes you have to put the idea in their mind, for lack of a better way of putting
it. That's a great way to put it.
Sometimes you put the idea out there and they think about it over the summer, over the next election cycle, and they talk to their farmers are telling them, hey, why aren't you doing this? This is a good idea. And all of a sudden, we get action on their side of the aisle, and because they're in control right now, we get something happening. That really excites me, and it really has been the way it's worked since I've been here. It's a long process, and I may not get credit for any of it, but it doesn't make any difference, because we're moving some sustainability and in agriculture forward. We're moving forward with helping with things with climate change. By the way, the Dairy Innovation Hub, I was just at their yearly seminar last week at UW-Platteville, and the things they're doing on trying to manage greenhouse gases from the point of the dairy cow and how they can feed cows differently, perhaps, and manage some of those gases. It's really exciting, the things that are happening.
It really is. And again, it just starts with an idea that you have to plant someplace, and that's why we wanted to put a little spotlight on these ideas that were unveiled recently at the Capitol. Representative Dave Considine from Baraboo, thank you very much for visiting with us this morning. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it. I hope people look into these bills, because I think there's some good stuff there.
Well, they do, thanks to folks like Melissa Baldoff bringing it to our attention as well. Melissa, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And we'll be back right after this here up north.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Announcement.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
Today is the 60th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, murdered in Dallas and touching off a weekend that was a true inflection point in American history. Now, personally, I am not one for conspiracies. Sometimes things are as simple as they first appeared. For me, once you acknowledge the tragedy of the event, I am more fascinated with how the assassination was a truly nationwide moment of shock and grief and healing. This wasn't a case of Americans learning about it days later via a newspaper or a telegram. Television and radio coverage matured instantly out of necessity to tell the story, along with print and other reporters and hosts who collectively held the nation's hand in that trying time. So let's make the pivot to this day in music history by noting that on that day, through an unfortunate coincidence, an album was released. The album was called With the Beatles, and it had very low sales at first. And but over time, about 3 months later, they had appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show. And they released, Greg, I'm going to call an audible here and have them have you play All My Loving, which is from that second album with the Beatles. Close your eyes. And now we bring in Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here. Do you have a big Thanksgiving plan, a nice Thanksgiving plan, a basic one?
Yeah, we're going to travel and go to Madison to hang out with family there.
Good. Traditional dinner?
I think so. We're having chicken.
Okay.
Apparently the host does not like turkey.
That's okay. Yeah.
It's, it's not traditional anyway. I mean, if you go way back.
That's what I was going to say.
We better have cranberries, though. I tell you what.
Oh, all right.
Cranberry
okay.
relish or the jelly stuff in the can?
I like the jelly stuff in the can. In fact,
me too.
I might just bring my own.
Yeah. You just might have.
This is a wonderful Thanksgiving. I love it.
It's just for me.
Slurping it up there. Well, the Beatles actually have two spots on November 22nd in history. 5 years later, on November 22nd, 1968, they released what became known as the White Album, which included Blackbird, Back in the USSR, Obladi Oblada, and this appropriate tune. All right, it is birthday time here. Let's see. Let's start with Terry Gilliam from Monty Python.
I love Terry Gilliam.
Oh, love Monty Python, all things Python. 83 years old today. Legendary tennis player Billie Jean King is 80 today.
Nice.
Stevie Van Zandt is 73. If that didn't make you feel old, this one will. Welcome Jamie Lee Curtis to senior citizenhood. Jamie Lee Curtis turned 65 today.
Really?
Get your Activia and let's celebrate.
Come celebrate Jamie Lee Curtis's birthday and be regular again. Mark Ruffalo is 56. Was Mark Ruffalo the one in the horrible accident where he was kind of run over by his own like skid steer or something on his land? Or am I thinking of a different actor?
I was just going to say he played the Hulk, but okay.
No,
I know what you're referring to.
Oh, no, that was Jeremy Renner. That was Jeremy Renner.
One of the other Avengers. It was Jeremy Renner.
It was Hawkeye. Okay. It was Jeremy Renner who plays Hawkeye. And Mark Ruffalo, who's from where I live, Kenosha, that name is everywhere in Kenosha.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And happy birthday to him, 56. And Scarlett Johansson is 39 years old today.
Wow. Black Widow.
And we just got all the, we're just name checking all the Avengers at this point. Yeah. Here's one of them, that, very little known, but sometimes Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band was called upon when you needed a disco hit. And here was his number one hit from this day in 1975. Studio here. We'll just dim the lights and let the crystal ball do its thing.
Get some roller skates.
Yeah. All the girls would have pom-poms on the front of their roller skates. Let's jump way ahead to this day in 2005. Ne-Yo releases So Sick. That became his first number one single. Here's a moment from 2011 that I did not know about. You know, and again, Taylor Swift's been around for a long time, but she was big back in 2011. At her concert in Madison Square Garden, Taylor Swift noted that her mom named her in part for James Taylor. Huh. And out comes James Taylor on the stage at Madison Square Garden this day in 2011 to perform Fire and Rain. as well as her song 15. I wanted to play the audio. I found a couple of different YouTube clips. Yeah. Obviously, the crowd's going wild and everything, but the audio just, you know, again, it's from phones that are far away.
Just sing it in our hearts.
There you go.
Can I also wish an early birthday, because we won't be here tomorrow, early birthday or anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy birthday to the show Doctor Who, which premiered 60 years ago tomorrow.
Wow. Ooh. Okay. Happy anniversary, fans. All right, as promised, and I'll get to all the national days today. Like, today is National Cranberry Relish Day.
Hey!
Yeah.
Bliss is real excited about this.
Yeah. Let's go instead, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, that in the newsletter today are some unique Wisconsin conversation starters. Christina Laurie wrote it down as if, you know, if you don't want to talk politics and you want to bring up something. And so one of them, I asked before, if you could only order one flavor of the day for the rest of your life at Culver's, which one would you choose? Melissa?
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
Ooh, Greg, you got one?
I was going to say the same, actually. Or if there.
Yeah.
All right.
Greg.
Let's race through these here.
High five.
Who's the better? You can talk about who's the better quarterback in Packers history, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Bart Starr. Again, there's no right answer, but it's going to get the conversation going.
Bart Starr.
Kind of like Kiss, Marry, Kill. There's Date, Marry, or Disappear Forever, Beer, Brats, and Curds. And let's see. How long is too long to age cheddar? And and of course, the ultimate one, where does Up North really start
really
in Wisconsin?
Start.
Yep. Melissa K., happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for the visit.
Yes. Good to see you guys.
Much more in our next hour. You're Up North.
That's March July 15th, because since there's no more you, there's no...
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off the holiday season. The 60th Annual Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Don Brown. Join me live for all the fun. I'll be catching up with business owners, city leaders, and you before the parade even starts.
Your Waukesha Christmas pre-parade coverage is live Sunday, December 3rd from 3 to 4 p.m. and only on the Shaw 101.1 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.